and welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and I'm excited about my guest today. She is from New Mexico, and we met online, and I'm so excited about what she has to share with us today. So please help me welcome our guest on the podcast today, Stephanie Gass. Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Hi, Monica. I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here with you.
Oh, that's so good. Well, let's just get started because you have so many great things to share with us, and I don't want to run out of time. So why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Absolutely. So I'm a mama. I have two little boys under 5 and a half. So pray for me there. It's crazy. I'm married. We live out in Harris, and I am just fully entrepreneur through and through. You know, I love everything entrepreneurship stands for. I'm a 3 on the Enneagram, if any of you follow that personality test.
No, but which I need to get more into that.
You really do. It's like this new wave. Everybody's talking about it. And I think it's so cool because it teaches you your strengths and weaknesses as a personality. So I'm the achiever. That's going to help you guys understand me quite a bit. You know, I'm constantly creating, thinking about the next big thing in my heart. I am also obsessed with iced coffee and wearing oversized comfies all day. So that's me, you know, in a nutshell.
Awesome. Well, in your bio, you call yourself a mompreneur, which we hear that term so much, but what does that mean to you?
That's a great question. Mompreneur to me means you have this calling or this vision for your life that has to do with being a successful businesswoman. And that is part of who you are, right? You were created for something epic when it comes to entrepreneurship. But at the same time, you are also called to be a mama. So you're raising kids, you're raising babies, but you're also finding this. And I actually do believe in balance. You're finding this blended life of running a successful business and having kids. That's what it means to me.
Awesome. I love that. So this is such a split controversial subject. Some people believe that you can't have it all and some people believe you can. And I've heard you're of the opinion that you can have it all. So tell us how we can truly have it all.
Yes. And you know, it's funny. I just did an Instagram post on this recently, Monica, because I kept hearing my clients say, Steph, balance doesn't exist for me. And I think the problem lies in the way that we visualize balance. We think of a scale, you know, those old school scales, and they've got like the justice scale, and they each have the 50-50. And so people think that's what balance means. It means that everything has to be equal parts. But in my opinion, I want you to think of it more as a blend. So what are the categories that make you most fueled and light up your soul? For me, it's spirituality, family, health, and business. So when I'm thinking about how do I live my most balanced life, it doesn't mean 25% in each category. Because that is unrealistic. But what it means is that I'm pouring into each of those categories throughout the week. So for example, on the weekends, I delete my social media apps. I don't really take clients. I'm fully in with my family. But on weekdays, I'm hustling. Like I'm working. And then every day I have a non-negotiable, which is working out for 1 hour every single day on the weekdays. And then 30 minutes of spirituality, intentional time in the morning. So you get to choose what balance means to you and those categories that will fuel your life. And then you have to take the initiative. Like ladies, we have control of the hours in our day, right? So plan it out so that you're actually spending the time you want to be spending. And yes, some days are heavy work focused, some days are heavy family focused. But if you look at the big picture, as long as you're touching each of those categories and you feel fulfilled, that's what balance is. And it's inventorying the things that are wasting your time and getting rid of it.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. Inventory. Taking a constant inventory is so important, I think. So how did you get started doing? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now and how you got started doing that.
Okay, so I have to rewind a little bit before I talk about what I do today, because getting started with entrepreneurship is crazy. I'm sure most of your listeners have dabbled in it or they are entrepreneurs. And so I was working full-time in corporate America, 60 plus hours a week. And I had just gotten married and we were about to have kids. And my mom said, hey, I'm going to join this network marketing company. Do you want to do it with me? And I hadn't really done anything entrepreneurial before other than I dabbled in makeup artistry back in college. And I'm like, this would be a way to stay home with my son. Great. Like I'm going to do this. And so I actually got laid off from my job almost in tandem, which interestingly, I always feel like things happen on purpose. Mm-hmm. So I had no choice but to pour into this. And so I talk about, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid. Like, I was mixing the Kool-Aid. I'm like, I'm going to the top. If that, you know, promo video girl can do it, so can I. So I'm over there hustling, and I actually made it in, you know, in industry standards. I got the top 1% of the company. I had a $17,000 month.
Wow.
You know, walking the stage, the bonus checks, the trips, the cars, all the things on paper that you would say, wow, you know, she's made it. And that was great for a while, except that I was actually working more than I was in corporate.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, anybody that tells you being an entrepreneur just means you're going to work less, I think that that's a lie. I mean, you're going to work hard at anything you do. So what happened for me was I had all this worth tied up in success and financial gain and achievement, and it started to crumble. Mm-hmm. Because we had been focused on fast success and money equals happiness. Well, of course, that's never going to end well, right? Mm-hmm. So that was my first taste of entrepreneurship. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is draining me. I'm overwhelmed. I'm having anxiety attacks. And so I kind of took a step away from it, and I just had to realign and say, what is truly pulling at your heart? What is it that you love about network marketing that you want to do? And so I met with a mentor. We took the and granted, all the cash flow problems we were having, I mean, the money wasn't there anymore. The network marketing business was starting to crumble. It was like the last $200 in my PayPal account that my husband didn't know about. And I met with a mentor, and that person said, Stephanie, you love inspiring women and teaching them and coaching them. And what if they wanted to do something different than network marketing? Could you help them? I'm like, yeah, like, I'm a sales ninja. I can help anybody with online marketing. And they're like, well, coach women. I'm like, oh yeah. Like, that makes perfect sense. Right? So anyway, long story short, that same week, someone called me and said, hey, Stephanie, do you coach? Will you work with me? And that's how I knew. Doors started to open. I started to have inspiration on what courses women needed to help them with online marketing. And then 7 months ago, I launched my podcast, and the podcast has since just totally exploded for me, grown the platform like crazy. And it's just been such an amazing thing. So that's what I'm doing now, is helping female entrepreneurs understand what their calling is, how to monetize their calling, grow their brand and business online. And it's all through faith-based business and balance mentorship.
I love it. So you talked about how you were working so much, but you wanted to be home with your kids. So what's your best advice for keeping that balance between family life and work?
Absolutely. There's a couple secrets that I, like, my secret sauce to how I run my life, okay? Because right now my son is napping in the other room, okay? Perfect. Yeah, it's perfect, you guys. And so let me talk to you about the number one secret to owning your life. I talked about that earlier. It's called time blocking.
Yes,
you guys have potentially heard this before. I have an entire episode on it, episode 12, if you're like, I need more time blocking help. But in essence, you take your planner for the day and you're looking at your open slot. And maybe you have a full-time job. You still have some open slot, right? Maybe you work from home. So for me, I'm like, okay, from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., I have an open slot. From when my son is napping, from 11:30 to 2, I have an open slot, maybe in the evening, maybe in the afternoon while the kids are busy playing outside. So when you have these open slots of time, you have to be, you know, proactive and not reactive. Stop just scrolling social media. Stop just, oh, now all of a sudden I have free time. This would be the time to watch Real Housewives and eat chocolate. Like, sister friend, you want to grow a business and you want to grow your success, you have to fill those slots with activity and productivity time. So for me, I'm sitting here with Monica. We're doing this podcast right now. This is your productivity time. So it's time blocking your life. And I know that may sound like overkill, but it's the way you're going to be the most productive, especially if you're a mom or a parent. That's difficult. So you know those slots of time. So that's number one. And also, my kids are non-negotiable, right? So certain hours of the day, it's promised to my children and to my husband and to my family. Like, after 6 p.m., I don't work. Unless it's an emergency and somebody needs me, like, can't schedule it outside of that window, I don't work. My phone's in the bedroom. We're making dinner together. We're playing outside. It's just, you just have to set up the boundaries, I think, is the bottom line, right? What are the boundaries to your best life? And you don't mess around. And guess what? People, they're like, okay, I can meet at that time. If you just give them the times you work, like office hours, people make it work. You know, you don't have to be at everyone else's beck and call. So that's the biggest one. And then outsourcing. Outsource the things that don't serve you. If you can get a house cleaner, that was the first thing I outsourced. House cleaning, right? I have an assistant that helps with things that don't serve me. So if you can, and there's get resourceful, there are very inexpensive ways to outsource. And then the final couple of things that will help you keep a balance is automate what you can. Any and everywhere that I can automate my process, you better bet. Like I'm scheduling social media, I'm pre-recording podcast episodes all at once. I'm automating all the things that I can so that I have more space and time for my family.
Yeah, I love that. So that leads right into my next question, which is what are your top five productivity tips? So I love that you mentioned time blocking. And just to dig a little bit deeper into time blocking, I always label those blocks of time. So like one block of time would be recording podcast episodes or editing podcast episodes and getting them ready, scheduling them. So yeah, I like finding the block of time is really important and then labeling so that you're not flip-flopping from this to that to the next thing. You just know this block of time, I'm doing this one thing and this is what I need to be able to do it. And then you just keep your mindset just in that one area for that block of time. So I love that.
Yes. And that would be one of my five is time blocking. You know, if you're going to be productive, you're not going to do laundry and play with your kids and take a sales call. You're going to like be horrible at all three because it's too much.
Yeah.
So like Monica said, it's really whatever that time block is, give your whole heart and soul to it. Like if you're going to do laundry, and believe I don't like laundry, but I'm going to show up to do it because I'm going to be faster and it's going to be over with, you know?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to cook, like show up and cook and enjoy the experience and be present. So whatever you're doing, time block, label it and be present. So that is tip number one for being proactive. The second one I talked about a little bit, but let me explain. It's called batch working.
Yes, maybe that's what I was getting to.
Okay, so batch working, you guys, is you got to get in the zone. You know, if you're going to do content creation, you're sitting down to do your next Insta post or your next Facebook thing or your blog or you're recording a video, why would you get ready that day to go on your video and then you do your 10-minute video and then you're done? Like, why not? Like, I don't want to get ready every day, right? So I'm going to do my makeup once. And if I have videos to create, I'm going to smash them all out that same day. That's called batch working. Or if I'm recording podcasts, I'm going to try to record 3 to 5 per day because now I've opened up all this space. I already have the equipment set up. I'm in the zone, got all the drinks surrounding me. Like everything's ready and you're not having to recreate the creative process every day.
Yes.
So batch working works for everything, even for meal prepping. If you can meal prep one day, you're batching your meals and you're saving time. What else do we batch work? I batch work all my social media posts. I batch work my podcast episodes. So think outside the box. How can you batch things in your life because you're already in the zone and you're going to be faster and more productive?
Love it.
So that's the second tip. That third tip, again, is outsourcing. So a lot of these productivity tips go hand in hand with family and balance.
Yeah.
So you're like, you know, you're double whamming. And so when you think about outsourcing, you guys, I want you to make a list. What are the non-negotiable things you do for your life and business? And then circle the ones that you just don't love. And I'm being nice. Okay. Like, I don't want to do the social media, or I don't want to clean my house, or what are the things that make you feel icky inside? And then take a look at that and say, how can I outsource this? And before you're like, I can't afford to outsource one thing, like, how can you afford not to? Because when you have more time, you can then do the stuff that fuels you and it's going to make you more money. It's going to make you happier. It's going to make you a better present parent. So how can you afford not to do that? Right? Yeah. So it's outsourcing. Like I waited way too long to do this because I'm a total control freak. I know it. It's just part of who I am. But once I outsource, I literally feel like this whole weight is lifted off my shoulders. I'm like, why didn't I do that sooner?
Yeah. I think what's important with outsourcing too is to highlight things that are within your zone of genius. So like content creation is what I'm really good at, but there's tons of people who are better at cleaning toilets than I am. If you focus on your zone of genius, like what is your unique talent and contribution, and you do that and give yourself more time to do that and let somebody else do something that they're really good at.
I know. It's so true. I'm the same as you. I'm like, the last thing I need to outsource though, Monica, I'll tell you, is my laundry. I've been talking about this for like over a year. I'm like, I need to outsource that because I don't like it.
How old are your kids? That's what your kids are for, right?
They're only 2.5 and 5.
Oh, the fact that he's getting there.
They help. Yeah, they're getting there. Pretty soon, girlfriend, I'm going to outsource that right onto those kiddos.
Yes, perfect.
The last, let's see. Oh, I wanted to talk about this productivity tip, okay? Yeah. So to be productive, I'm sure you'll agree with me, you want to be balanced, at peace, you know, you're not overwhelmed, overworked, stressed, anxiety ridden, workaholic mode. So how do you do that? Something I preach over and over again is you've got to social media detox. You can't be productive if you're staring at every ding and bing and ting on your phone. And so you've got to detox. And so what I do is every weekend I delete the apps from my phone. Instagram and Facebook, they're gone. And actually I have zero notifications on, not even my email. And the reason is I want to own my day. I want to own the hours that I look at my phone. I don't want to be forced to be pulled away from my present moment because I have an email. That email is going to sit there and wait for me. Nobody's going to die if I don't answer it immediately. And so you can be more at peace and more present. And I think a lot more productive without all of that stuff. So I delete the apps, which means if I want to check something, I actually have to go to my computer, log in, and sometimes I do, and that's okay. But the beauty of it is it just allows me to see. I'm actually addicted to those apps because I go to my phone and I try to click it. I'm like, whoa, it's not here. And like, this is an actual problem.
Yeah.
So if I can do this every weekend, it retrains my brain. Like, okay, I know I work online and I need these apps, but I don't need them to run my life. So get rid of social media. Even if it's once a month, I challenge you to try it. It's so liberating.
Yeah, that's so good. Such great advice. Especially, I try to set up hours during the day, which are kind of like free email/social media checking times. And then if we're outside of those hours, then I'm off.
Good for you. It's hard for women.
Very hard.
It's hard for entrepreneurs in general, but it's really hard for women because I think we always are searching, at least for me, I'm always searching for this external validation. Like, oh, is somebody liking this? Or how many downloads did this get? Or is there a client writing me? And it's like, you're missing all this, these blessings and these present moments because you're checking the silly notifications. And so when you get control of that, you take your power back in such a big way.
So true. The best way to like kind of zap yourself into realizing how long you're doing that is there's apps that are screen time monitors.
Oh.
They'll tell you like how many minutes you're spending or hours you're spending on certain apps. And it took that for me to be like, oh my gosh, I am spending way more time looking at Instagram than I am talking to my kids. Like, it's awful. So I was like, all right, we got to do something about that for sure.
I did the same thing. And I feel like it was like traumatizing. I'm like, oh, like it makes you feel so bad. But the problem is we don't even know we're doing it. So yeah. It's being aware and changing the behavior.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's so great because if you're checking constantly, like consistently throughout the day, you're getting a few likes here, a few likes there, whatever. But if you wait like a whole 24 hours and then check it, you're like, whoa, everybody loves me. Look how many likes I have.
See? So there you go. That's worth it.
Freaking your brain a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
Talk to us about marketing. What are your best social media marketing tips and tricks? I noticed as I was getting to know you better and I looked you up on social media, you have a ton of followers and great engagement. So tell me how you do that.
Okay, so this is how you do that. You guys can't be scared about sales and marketing, first of all. Those are not dirty words. Those should not freak you out. All right. I want you to reframe the way that you think about that by, here's how, you get to know your avatar. And that's another word for your ideal client. Like when you ask me, Stephanie, who are you talking to on social media? Like she actually has a name. Her name is Lola. She's a wife. She's a mama of two. She's faith-based. She's a teacher, but she's trying to transition out of teaching to become an online marketer. She's starting a blog, but she doesn't know how. How does she do all the things? She doesn't understand online marketing. She doesn't understand productivity or planning. So like, I know Lola so well. I know that I know her strengths, her weaknesses, her personality style, what she drinks. I know what she eats. Like I know her so well. So I want you to get to know your person. Write down a sheet of paper who that person is. Name them. How much money do they make? What keeps them up at night? Because when you head over to social media and you're going to create content or a post, I want you to talk to your Lola. Speak directly to her and I want you to solve a problem or share a story that's going to resonate with her. And when everything changed for me, Monica, was when I stopped acting so fancy and professional. And I started saying, here is my pain point that I went through. And it's dark and it's uncomfortable for me to share it. Like I had to borrow $2,000 from my son's savings account so that we could pay the bills. And at that moment, that was like the darkest moment for me of what happened. Like I'm lost and learning to trust the process and letting go of control and figuring out what's next, you know? So when I share this vulnerable, dark story, Lola's going, oh my gosh, she understands me. I'm there now. And marketing 101, you've now resonated with your Lola on the deepest level of humanity, because she's a human being on the other end of that app. It's not, we think, you know, if we're fancy or we fake it till we make it, or we act like we've had all this success, that's not what sells. What sells is when another human being says, this person understands my pain and they've gotten through it in some way, shape, or form, and they can help me get through it. So that's what I want you guys to do, is understand your Lola, start creating content and sharing your own vulnerabilities, get really relatable, and then give away your best content, your best stuff. Give it away for free, because that's going to build trust and rapport. And then when you casually mention that you have a course or a product or coaching or whatever you have, Lola is going to take you seriously. And there's no one else she's going to want to work with but you, because you get her and you trust her. So it's the long game. Marketing is, it's dating. You're dating Lola for long enough until she trusts you and likes you enough to show up on the date with you and buy the course or hire you. Does that make sense, Monica?
Absolutely. I love that. Yes. That's what the best marketing advice I think I've gotten from, I don't know if you're familiar with ClickFunnels, Russell Brunson. Yeah. He talks about knowing your avatar, and he has a picture of his avatar on his desk. So he looks,
I love it,
at him all the time, and he's constantly creating content for them. So yeah, no, I love that. So tell me, have you ever failed really badly at something? And if so, how did you pick yourself up and keep going?
It's so funny you're asking this. My post on Instagram today and my podcast episode today are my top 5 failures as an entrepreneur.
Oh, awesome. Oh my gosh. I'm going to go listen right now. I love that.
Isn't that cool? So yes, I've failed so many times. And I was actually saying on my post, I'm like, I love failing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, do you guys think I'm crazy yet? Like, I actually love failing. I love when it's hard. I love when I'm uncomfortable. I love when something makes me anxious. I love when the course flops. Like, I love it all, because through all the things that are failures, quotes, that's how you learn and grow. Like, if I didn't fail, I can't get better. I can't say, okay, this worked here, but this didn't work here. And so, oh gosh, I go into all the ways I failed. I was focused on short-term success versus long-term success. So my business fell apart. I've launched courses that totally flopped. I launched a group coaching program that had 4 people join. And that was real awkward to say, hey girls, we're not actually going to do it, because there's only 4 of you. I've failed.
Grab your best friend.
Yeah. My word, like so many times. But here's the thing. You simply say, okay, that was a learning experience. And I think why we're afraid of failure is we think that all these people are judging us. And that's really why we don't want to fail. But at the end of the day, nobody's thinking about you and your failure. They're only consumed with themselves. So you just simply stand up, you dust yourself off, and you say, how can I improve? And if you improve 1% from the last time, if I said, well, my course flopped again, but I had 5 people join, that is an improvement.
Yes.
Right. And so how can you just get a little bit better? Because the only person you can compare yourself to is you. Mm-hmm. And so failure, if you didn't have failures, you wouldn't have success. If you didn't have the hard stuff that's going to help you grow, you're never going to get to the big audacious goal that you have in your heart. That it's impossible. So you take the step and be prepared to fail. And when you fail, say, yes, I'm that much closer.
Yes. I love that. Love your picture on that post, by the way. I'm super excited to read and listen to that.
Oh, good. Let me know what you think.
Yeah. Tell me how you deal with trolls or negative commentary of your work. Because I know when you get big like you are, there's always going to be people out there who don't get it or just need to be mean.
Here's the thing with this one. Anybody that's mean to you or makes fun of you or you can't, you're not worthy of this. Any troll, even if it's, listen, you may even have some husband or wife trolls out there, okay? But here's the deal. Anybody that's projecting anger, hate into this world, it's only coming from inside of themselves. And you can't internalize other people's pain and other people's shortcomings and lack of confidence. And sometimes it even comes from a place of love. They're like, they're worried about you. They want to protect you. Why would you launch that business? You have the 6-figure job. What's wrong? Like, actually today, interestingly, someone that used to be in my network marketing company, they heard that I had a $17,000 month. That was my best month in network marketing. And they said, I can't believe. And she walked away. Like, that's so dumb. And another person relayed the message to me. And all I did was like, gosh, you know, it didn't make me upset. It didn't make me angry. It made me, you know, it made me understand that whatever that person's shortcoming is, it doesn't mean that they understand you, right? They don't understand your reasons for what you're doing. And so you have to brush it off. So here's what you do. You go, next. Like, you just have to put up the wall. And I don't know how I do this. I guess I compartmentalize, but it just doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way, other people's opinions of me just stopped mattering completely. And I think it's because I realize it's not my problem, it's theirs.
So good. So good. I think the sooner people realize that, the better off they will be. But if you could have 5 minutes to talk to all the women in the world, what would you say to them?
Here's what I'm going to say to you. Listen up, girls. All right. Always, what are we searching for all the time? Validation, right? We're always searching for success and validation. And we're looking for the next best thing. And we're looking for the secret. Ooh, I need the secret. What's the secret to success? Ooh, maybe it's blogging. Nope, it's a YouTube channel. Oh, wait, I'm going to write a book. Guys, here is what I want to tell you. Anybody that tells you that you can go and have overnight success, it's a lie, okay? I want you to stop getting distracted from all the shiny promises that are out there. And I want you to ask yourself, why am I here? What is the calling that I am so lit up about? Like, what lights me on fire? I want you to put on your blinders. Don't look at anybody else. Don't look at what Susie's doing over there. Don't look at Mary. You focus on you, boo, and you say, I'm going until that's it. I'm not getting distracted. I'm not going to jump to the next best thing. And if it takes you a decade, it takes you a decade. But at the end of that decade, you're going to say, I actually achieved something that is in line with my purpose. Versus I tried 20 things that were all different. None of them were in line with my purpose because I was chasing money or recognition or success. So it's, I guess my bottom line here is get in line with the calling. Why are you really here? What is the thing that you were created for? And then get to work and don't you lift your head until you've achieved your biggest dreams when it comes to that goal.
So good. So good. If you could ensure that your cute little kids do one thing that their mama stood for, what would that one thing be?
Gosh, you know, I think it would be honest and truthful always, because faking it till you make it is going to hurt you. And you being honest and truthful is going to create more meaningful relationships in your life. And then the second one is to relentlessly pursue your calling. Like, I will never tell my children they have to do one thing or the other because they know what they want, were created for. I don't know that. And I want them to see me relentlessly pursuing the mission that I have on this earth and not letting anything stand in my way. Nobody's opinion is going to keep me from growing forward. And I want them to have that same experience in their life.
Yeah, I love that. Me too. All right. What are you working on right now that you are the most excited about?
Oh gosh. Love that you asked this question. So the number one problem that my clients come to me with, number one, over and over and over and over. Steph, I have an idea, but I don't know how to grow a brand. I don't know how to grow a following. It's too slow. I have 50 people following me on Instagram. I'm showing up. I'm doing all the content. I'm doing a million hashtags. I'm spending hours pouring my heart into my YouTube channel. And like, it's so slow. And I've been there. I tried all of it. I had a blog, a YouTube channel, all the Instagram stuff. Spent years trying to grow and scale my Instagram. Then I've spent thousands of dollars on Facebook ads. And I'm like, how do I grow faster? And then God put this little tiny bug into my heart and into my mind. And I literally woke up one day and said, I'm starting a podcast. And I know that that idea, you know, it was bigger than me. So I got in front of my $30 Amazon microphone that I had laying around and found some free software online and clicked record. And that one choice has scaled, grown my community by thousands of women faster than I ever anticipated. Revenue's up by over 98%. Why? Because audio is exploding. Because nobody's watching videos and reading blogs. They're listening to free content.
Mm-hmm.
And podcasting is exploding. But I believe that these women can still get in before the wave. So I actually went online. I started searching for some type of female entrepreneurship-based podcast course that taught sales, that taught marketing, that taught monetizing a show. I couldn't find anything. I'm like, all right, let's do this thing. So I created a course and it's called Podcast Pro University. It just launched and it takes someone from, I have an idea about a podcast. I have an idea, but I'm not too sure. Literally through all the stages of launching it, monetizing it, how to market, how to sell, how to do interviews, how to edit, how to outsource, how to scale your show, how to try to get featured on New and Noteworthy. It has everything in there that I couldn't find out there. So I just launched that and I'm just so passionate about helping women grow their mission.
Cool. Well, I'm a fan for sure. sure. All right. So tell us the name of your podcast and tell me where my listeners can find you and connect with you and work with you if they want.
Sure. Absolutely. So the best place to find me is stephaniegass.com, and that's Stephanie with an F and then G-A-S-S.com. I have free gifts on there. I have free trainings on there. And then my podcast is called The Mompreneur Mastermind Show. And you guys can find that any and everywhere that you listen to podcasts.
Awesome. I love it. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to hang out and chat with us today and all of your awesome information about productivity and marketing and all the things that you're so passionate about. And we just wish you the best with everything you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Monica. It's been so fun.
All right. Do you just love Stephanie as much as I do? I thought she was fantastic. And I'm so glad that she took the time to do that interview with me. I especially loved the part where she talked about taking a social media fast. It was so funny because I was editing this episode and my husband came in the room for just a second and heard her advice about taking a social media fast. And he was like, wow, I really like this lady. I'm like, yeah, me too. Awesome. So anyways, I took the time between recording this episode and editing this episode to listen to her podcast and go back and look at a lot of her social media posts, the one she talked about on failure. And I absolutely love it. I definitely encourage you to check out all of the wonderful things that Stephanie has to offer, her social media accounts at Stephanie Gass, her podcast, for sure, the Mompreneur Mastermind Show, as well as check out her Podcasting Success Academy if you are interested in starting your own podcast, because you definitely will need some advice and help getting that up and running the right way. So wishing her the best in everything that she does. Excited to call her friend now. And next week, I am turning 40 years old, you guys. I am so old, but I'm really excited about next week's episode because I'm going to do a podcast, a solo podcast. I haven't done a solo podcast in a while, and I'm going to talk about 40 things that I have learned, 40 life lessons that I've learned in my 40 years of life. I did this last year on my 39th birthday, and it was a hit. I don't think it was 39 things, but this year it's definitely going to be 40. I've been thinking about them. I've been jotting them down. I've been making notes, and I'm really excited to share my 40 life lessons with you. So make sure you tune in next week. And if you have a second, I would love for you to give me a review on iTunes, on Facebook, on Google, on any app that you listen to this podcast. If you're getting anything out of it, a review is so helpful to get the word out. You can also share it with your buddies just through your podcast app. Just hit the three little dots in the top right hand corner and you can just share it in a text to someone. Tell your friends, because sharing is caring. And until next week, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.